Welcome back to Horizons.
I'm Gráinne Quirk, and these are the upcoming events from around the diocese. In Milltown, there will be refreshments after Mass today in the Milltown Church. This will be a monthly gathering, offering a wonderful opportunity to strengthen the parish community. Two blessings of the crib will take place in Tralee today, at Ra Cemetery at 3 p.m. and at St. John's Cemetery, Oakview, after the 12:30 Mass in Our Lady and St. Brendan's Church. Choir practice for the Kilcommon Children's Christmas Eve Mass with Martina Rilo Sullivan will take place in Kilcommon Church tomorrow and Monday next week at 6 p.m. All children from 4 years old and musicians of all ages are welcome. Annam Cara, the organisation that supports bereaved parents, will hold its monthly parent support evening in the Meadowlands Hotel on Tuesday at 7:15 p.m. A Life in the Spirit seminar, facilitated by Myrrh Ministries, will continue in Holy Cross Church, Kenmare, on Friday nights at 8 p.m. Come to know the personal love of the Lord more deeply through an uplifting and inspiring series of talks, prayers and togetherness. Killorglin Parish Christmas Carol Service will take place in St. James Church on Saturday at 7 p.m. shortly after Mass. Finally, a message from Pope Francis posted on X. Each of us is called to oppose any form of violence against women and girls. We must work together to ensure that the human rights and the dignity of every person are recognised.
Thank you, Gráinne.
Michael Griffin, thank you very much for joining me on Horizons.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
You're very welcome. You got the notion to write a book. Why did you decide to do that?
About 5 weeks ago, my sister Catherine, who is very involved in the parish of Keele in Kiltallop, contacted me to say that Father Danny Broderick had said, this church is 150 years old. We better celebrate it in some way. Maybe you would put a two-page booklet together. So Catherine very quickly put him right and said, two-page booklet, that's not sufficient, Father, to mark 150 years. And she contacted me and asked me, could I do any work on this and any research and maybe put a booklet together. So that was what set this off. Couldn't have come at a better time or at a worse time. I was involved in campaigning for my brother-in-law in the election here in Dublin. Nevertheless, I had done quite an amount of family history study. I was born in Fybrook, 1950, 74 years ago, baptised in St. Gobnus Church, First Communion, confirmed in the church. It's a place I love, and I set about bringing bits and pieces together. And I must say, I found Dr. Lehan in the archives office extremely helpful. He offered me immediately whatever records there were about St. Gobnitz Church in Keele. And the other areas then that I could draw on were obviously the parish register was very important, a lot of information in that, but also the tithe allotment books of 1820, 26. The O'Donovan letters, wealth of information in them. John O'Donovan, a scholar, an academic, one of seven people who were mandated to go throughout the country around 1840, 1841 to provide the Ordnance Survey Office had just been established to draw up comprehensive mapping of all the country. Obviously for military purposes, but also for administration purposes. John O'Donovan, a scholar, great grasp of both English and Irish, visited the parish of Keele, described in detail Bulteens, Kilgarrylander, Keele, and so on, and a lot of information there. The story of St. Gobnus Church in Keele will be celebrating the 150th anniversary of the building. But I thought the building is simply a building. It isn't, but we cannot take it in isolation just as a building. The context for it was the growth in faith, in devotion, and so on, the development over centuries And where does the building come into the story? The early Christian church, as we know, was monastic in nature. And we think of St. Carthage, who was born in Kiltala, Castlemaine, otherwise known as Mochuda, who set up his monastery in Castlemaine and moved from there to Rahan in County Offaly. So that was, if you like, the early church as it was seen in this area. It was monastic, I suppose, reminding us of Skellig Vi Hill. Similarly, it was a monastic settlement. Then I suppose we move from that and growth of faith to the establishment of the diocese of the diocesan system throughout the country. And the Synod of Rob Brassel in 1111, it replicated the kingdom of Eir Mhun, West Munster, which was contiguous with the county of Kerry, with parts of Cork. So that became the diocese, and I think officially did not become known as the Diocese of Kerry until 1952.
We know that the Diocese of Kerry and the County of Kerry don't have the same geographic borders. A lot of the bits of Cork, it sort of extends further than it does. Is that because the Diocese of Kerry evolved from this Kingdom of West Munster?
Yes, and it took in, as you say, it took in parts of West Cork, which are still in the diocese, Drumtariff and Castletownbere. We like, as people of the kingdom, to say we own part of our neighbours, West Cork.
That's fascinating. I've wondered that since I've started in this role, and I knew I'd need some kind of historical expert to explain that to me. But I didn't know that with you. This was just a nice surprise.
Yeah.
Am I hearing correctly from your sister that you did all this work in less than a month?
Well, I had some of the work done on the parish records. I had done a lot of family history research over the years.
I was thinking you must have had some pre-existing interest in this topic, because that didn't sound like a month's homework. That sounded
like a
lifetime hobby you were kicking away with in the background. The name of the book is The History of St. Covenant's Church in Kiel.
Yes. To be honest with you, look, it's a history more of the growth of faith and the turbulent times through which the faith survived, and tried to capture that. And in the lives of people, be they ordinary folks or priests, clergy, bishop, landlord, tenants, and so on, it's a story of people and bound up with the church.
It was great you're able to find all that information, because I know as Irish people, we have a very oral culture. And I think it is consistent throughout history that the only time people start to write things down is when someone owes someone else money. That's when records start, when people want to keep track of their debts.
Yeah.
I think the first writing is back in Babylon or Sumeria, where someone owed someone for some grain, so they scratched it out on a clay tablet.
Yeah.
So that's other than our stories and our legends, all of our written records is usually, I owe that fella 5 shillings and he wants to collect.
Yeah, I suppose that's the one regret, that didn't get the people when the centenary should have been celebrated. An interesting one here, a church, the remains of which are still to be seen, stood in Bulteens. The old iron gate still hangs on the wall at the roadside, and vegetables are planted in the yard. A parish priest named Father Tom Carmody was buried there, and his remains were taken up and placed in the new church, which was built in 1874. It was a thatched building, and old people of the district who have passed away remembered the visits of a parson to the church when he was collecting the tithes in the time of the penal laws. Well, it obviously wasn't, it was post-penal laws. One day he took his horse up through the church and tied him to the altar while he called out names of those whom he wanted to pay tithes. A man named John Cordan, whose grandson died 1932 at the age of 86 years, killed the parson's horse at a place, Loch Awarla, a short distance from the church. So that is recorded 1935 from Tony, who died 1932, whose grandfather witnessed this, whose grandfather killed the horse.
That's the other side of it too, is if you're the one keeping records of the fact you're collecting on people's debts, you're not going to be very popular and you may not make it to the end of the day. Michael Griffin, thank you very much for joining me on Horizons.
Thank you, David. Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening to Horizons. As always, if you want to contact me, you can do so at davidsheehan@dioceseofkerry.ie. A special thank you to the production team, in particular, Gráinne Quirk. Just a Thought for the Coming Week is by Francis Rowland on the theme of Advent. Until this time next Sunday, I hope you have a wonderful week.